KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9:01, we have sunny skies and 36 degrees in Atlantic. Looking more to be sunny here today with a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Two Atlantic residents were arrested on assault charges Monday. According to the Atlantic Police Department, 38-year-old Stephen Gustin was arrested for domestic abuse assault, and 19-year-old Andrew Keitlinger was arrested for serious domestic abuse assault. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. News time is 9:01.
It happens. You listen to the voice telling you about all the money you'll save when you call 1-800-CHEAP-INSURANCE or apply online. So you do it. You think you made a wise choice, and you know your premiums will be the lowest you could find. But did that 800 number voice tell you he'd be there if you had a claim? Or did you read the fine print online? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agents in Atlantic. I hear it all the time from people who tell me they were told how cheap their premiums would be and that they bought the cheap coverage. But when it happened, they were left making phone calls, leaving messages, and playing phone tag. Then when the check came, it didn't come close. The problem is, cheap premiums don't necessarily mean premier service. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll do the research and show you a policy from Allied that will give you coverage to help you recover from the financial obstacles that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports this morning one person was arrested Monday night on a drug charge. 30-year-old Gary Lilly of Prescott was taken into custody at around 8:50 p.m. on a warrant charging him with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. The warrant was issued following an investigation into an incident which occurred October 16th. Lilly was being held at the Adams County Jail on $1,000 bond. The latest report from the Legislative Services Agency indicates state tax collections continue to grow. Last month, the state collected 8% more in taxes compared to November of 2011. Over the past 5 months, state tax receipts are nearly 10% better than the same period a year ago. Sean Snyder is a financial analyst for the Legislative Services Agency.
When you look at the year-to-date totals overall, you know, we're looking at 9.8% for our total net receipts, which is a very strong figure.
Personal income taxes are up 6.3% during that five-month period. In November alone, personal income tax payments to the state rose over 4%. A three-member panel of state financial experts will meet December 12th to come up with an official estimate of future state tax collections. That figure will be used by the governor and legislators to draw up next year's state budget. The Atlantic Municipal Utilities Board of Trustees Monday evening approved published electric and water rate increases amounting to a 10% increase in water rates and a 7.5% increase in electric rates to make up for wholesale increases in the cost to obtain electricity and other related expenses. AMU's residential customers will see an average of about $6.60 a monthly increase for their combined electric and water bill. Commercial business users of AMU's electric and water service will see their average combined bill increase by about $24.45 per month. The new rates become effective with the February 1st, 2013 billing. During a public hearing prior to the board's vote, there were no spoken objections from the public with regard to the proposed rate increase. There was one letter written by two Atlantic citizens regarding the city's Christmas lights being on overnight, past the time when most downtown businesses are closed. In the letter, Eleanor and Leslie Becker questioned why AMU doesn't try to save the taxpayers some money by turning the lights off when the business district is closed. AMU General Manager Steve Chepkes explained the way the lights are wired makes it difficult to shut them off.
The Christmas lights are wired into our street lights, so they're not on a separate circuit. So when our street lights are on, the Christmas lights are on. And I guess I really wasn't aware of how that worked either until I got the letter and we looked into it.
Chepkes estimates the Christmas lights are on about 50 days during the season for about 14 hours per day. He said based on the cost of the energy, the cost to provide electricity for the LED lights is about $500 per year. He noted that the new Christmas lights are more energy efficient than the old lights were. And he acknowledged that AMU could work to switch the lights to separate circuits from the street lights, which would save at best a couple of $100 per year. But Board Chair Larry Turner pointed out the cost to actually switch those circuits will be very expensive. Customers of Atlantic Municipal Utilities will see a new statement effective December 26th that replaces the postcard-style billing we're used to seeing. AMU officials announced the change during their Board of Trustees meeting Monday night. General Manager Steve Chepkes said the letters will be going out to their customers explaining the change and options available for payment. AMU says while the postcard billing statements have served them well for many years, it's becoming more cumbersome to maintain. The new statements are said to be less likely to get lost in the mail because they're business envelope sized. And the new statement is also easier to read, has a more detailed level of information, gives AMU the capability of adding multiple accounts to one billing statement, and will allow for better tracking of information and processing of payments, and they say it better protects customer information. Additional features being offered through their billing system in 2013 will include customers being able to access their bill through AMU's website to make a payment or check a detailed statement history. And there's also a feature to set up recurring credit card payments and debit transactions. All of those features will be rolled out sometime early next year. You can take an advanced look at the type of statement you'll be receiving by looking for the same story under the News tab on KJAN.com. Iowa lawmakers are adding more transparency to their day-to-day workings at the Capitol. The Cedar Rapids Gazette reports the state Senate will begin offering live video streaming of floor debates during the upcoming legislative session. Officials say the installation of several video cameras cost more than $200,000, but a state grant helped to cover the bulk of it. The move brings the Senate in line with the House, whose members began offering live video streaming last year. House officials say their online audience was small during the first year, but lawmakers say they expect a jump once more people are aware of the service. Governor Branstad is saying that he would consider making Iowa's anti-bullying law stronger in light of recommendations made during a state conference last week. At a Monday morning press conference, Branstad said there are things that, quote, can be done to strengthen and improve our law. Iowa has launched Your Life Iowa, a program aimed at helping parents, school workers, and others to prevent bullying and youth suicide. Branstad announced the program at the summit held in Des Moines last week. He says he's in the process of planning his budget and legislative agenda for 2013, which he plans to present to the legislature in January. Branstad is, quote, hopeful that we'll have some specific suggestions. And administrators and others interested in improving the Riverside Community School District's facilities hope the fourth time at bat yields a home run with the voters. Superintendent Dr. Jim Sutton said this time around there's a big difference in the type of facility the patrons of the district will be voting on as far as a bond issue is concerned. Sutton said they went from the previously proposed and rejected pre-K through 12th grade building to a 7th through 12th grade building. The final proposal came through suggestions from the community and includes updating and consolidating the athletic complex and the installation of a geothermal heating and cooling system. Sutton says he thinks the pared down and prioritized $14.3 million bond referendum will be approved by the voters. The same day the patrons of the Riverside District will be heading to the polls today, residents of 13 Southwest and Western Iowa counties will be casting their ballots on a $22.5 million bond issue to be used for Iowa Western Community College construction and renovation projects. Sutton said he doesn't think the fact that both bond issues are being held the same day will impact the turnout for the Riverside District vote.
People have heard the information that Iowa Western's put out. I don't think it's going to be a problem because as I visited with their leadership over there, this is a bond for them that's only to generate $22 million, only takes 7 cents of a person's tax rate. But in reality, they're lowering their tax rate from about 10 cents, even if they pass that bond. So if folks read it, if folks understand what they're doing with their money and how little it's costing them, then we don't believe it's going to have a negative impact on our request.
Speaking of tax rates, if the Riverside bond issue passes today, it will increase the tax asking by a maximum of $2.70 per $1,000 residential property valuation.
Currently, ours is $9.63, which is one of the lowest in the state. If you take a look at what that would create for a tax rate for Riverside, even if we did pass it, it's still going to keep us relatively low when you compare us to the state or even schools around us.
The bond issue will raise about two-thirds of the $22.1 million needed for the project. The rest of the money will come from the district's savings and borrowing against the remaining sales tax. The only polling place for the Riverside bond referendum allowed by the Pottawatomie County Auditor's Office is at the Carson Community Building. Patrons of the district may cast their ballots until 8 o'clock tonight, again at the Carson Community Building. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, the U.S. Navy says all of its unmanned drone aircraft are fully accounted for, but Iran is claiming to have captured one. The Iranians say the drone entered Iranian airspace over the Persian Gulf. It could be that the drone being shown on Iranian TV is one that was pulled from the sea in the past, and that Iran chose to display it now amid escalating tensions over U.S. surveillance missions. It's been nearly a week since President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner have talked directly about the looming fiscal cliff. Though their staffs have been in contact, Boehner last night attended a congressional holiday party at the White House, but he avoided the photo line where members get their picture taken with the president and have a few minutes to talk. A measure of U.S. home prices is showing the biggest yearly gain in more than 6 years. The index rose 6.3% in October compared with a year ago, adding to signs of a comeback in the once-battered housing market. CoreLogic also said prices declined 0.2% in October from September, and that's the second drop after six straight monthly increases. The real estate data provider said the decline reflects the end of the summer home buying season. Police say the Kansas City Chiefs had been providing counseling to a linebacker, Jawan Belcher, and his girlfriend before he killed her and committed suicide over the weekend. A police spokesman told the Kansas City Star the couple had been arguing over the relationship and financial issues for months and that the team had been bending over backward trying to help them. Finally in the news, Prince William has been visiting his pregnant wife, Kate, in a London hospital where she's spending a second day being treated for acute morning sickness. William arrived at the hospital just before noon. Royal officials announced yesterday that Kate is pregnant and suffering from a severe form of morning sickness that can lead to dehydration or worse if left untreated. She's expected to remain hospitalized for several days. News time is 9:12.
After 21 trips from the truck to his dorm room, you finally have him moved in. You helped him set up everything from his computer to his microwave and mini fridge to the TV and Blu-ray, not to mention all the speaker wire. Now, have you thought about the idea that it happens, like a storm going through, knocking out all the power and frying all those electronics, or those nice young men down the hall through a huge party? Does he even lock his dorm room? It happens. This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your Allied insurance agent in Atlantic. Many insurance policies will cover your kid's stuff on your homeowner's policy when they're at school, but some don't cover his belongings if he lives in an apartment rather than the dorm. Some don't cover anything once he lives away from home. What does your policy say? Maybe it's time to review it. If you find that he may not be covered, I'll show you a renter's policy from Allied that will allow you to rest easy. Call today and let me help because, like Allied Insurance, I'm on your side. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
And the funeral announcements, Austin Lane Vice, age 12 of Exira, died Thursday. Funeral services for Austin Vice will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Adair Casey High School in rural Adair. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dennis Lee Collins, age 50, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday. Funeral services for Dennis Collins will be held on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Larry Keister, age 54, of Harlan, died Saturday. A prayer service for Larry Keister will be tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. No other services are planned. Margaret Moore, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Margaret Moore will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Daniel Weiss, age 50, of Walnut, died Saturday. A memorial service for Daniel Weiss will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Walnut American Legion Hall. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Cleo Larby, age 87, formerly of Manila, died November 26. The funeral services for Cleo Larby will be on Friday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. And Josephine Fagan, age 84, of Panora, died Saturday. No services are planned for Josephine Fagan. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.